My name is Devin Bailey. I'm the director of youth ministries here, and my pronouns are he and him. Good morning. Today's reading is from the Gospel of John, chapter 20, verses 1 through 18. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. And so she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Then Peter and the other disciple set out and went toward the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down to look in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who reached the tomb first, also went in, and he saw and believed, for as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their homes, but Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white, sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brothers and say to them, 'I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God.'" Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. The word of God for the people of God.
Someone once wrote that there are at least two ways to miss a miracle. First, to dismiss it, to reject it too readily, as if astonishing things never happen. And second, to domesticate it, to accept it too readily, as if it isn't astonishing at all. I think that it's fair to say that the disciples' response to the empty tomb spanned the full breadth of all possible reactions to the resurrection. If we count all four of the gospel versions of the story, there are disciples who run away from the tomb afraid, disciples who do believe it, disciples who don't believe it, disciples who think it's just a dumb story, and disciples who just sort of carry on as though nothing has really happened. Whatever your response to the resurrection is, the Bible will tell you that you are not the only one who has thought that before. But there does seem to be this through line in all of the Gospels of confusion, bewilderment. And there is always a lot of running around. Did you notice that? First, Mary runs to the tomb, and then she runs back to go tell Peter and John that the tomb is empty. And then Peter and John run to the tomb, and John, now note, we are reading John's gospel, and so John makes sure to tell us that John outran Peter to the tomb. And apparently Mary runs back with them, but John is so busy bragging about beating Peter that he doesn't really seem to notice Mary. Everybody is running every which way, And nobody has any explanation for what is going on. They have no category for this. And they, like us, are left wondering, what could this mean? Or does it mean anything at all? Unfortunately, the disciples were not well-trained reporters. They don't give us the details that we want, the interviews that we really crave. Peter and John at least went looking for an explanation. They climbed down into the tomb, and they checked out the linens. They kind of investigated the evidence, and still, they didn't report anything. They just kind of came to their own conclusions and then went back home. Poor Mary is just left weeping, wondering what has happened, who took the body. We want her to have an explanation, don't we? Look around, Mary. Get to the bottom of it. Ask some questions. Get some answers. But she just keeps crying. She stoops down and she sees the two angels that are in there in the tomb. And we think, oh, good. Maybe they know something. Maybe they have an answer. But they're the ones who ask her a question. Ugh. When I read of Mary and all this running back and forth and all of her searching, it reminds me of a news report that I heard some years ago. The report was that one Saturday night, a group of tourists spent hours and hours looking for a missing woman near in Iceland near the Elgja Canyon. The group was traveling through Iceland on a tour bus, and they had stopped near this volcanic canyon on a Saturday afternoon. One woman on the bus left to go change her clothes and freshen up. And when she got back to the bus, she and the others got word that a passenger was missing, that no one had seen her return. And so a description of the person was released, and about 50 people began to search for the missing passenger by vehicle and on foot. For hours, they canvassed the whole area. And by 3 o'clock that morning, or the next morning, the Coast Guard was getting a helicopter ready to help search for this woman, when suddenly the search was called off. The headline that came out a couple of days later declared, "Missing woman unwittingly joins search party looking for herself." The woman was found right among the search party. When they began, she had not recognized the description of who they were searching for as herself. It turns out she didn't need to look harder. She just needed to be found. You see, in the end, for all of her running around and all of her searching, Mary never found the truth. The truth found her. It wasn't ever about nailing down an airtight explanation of what has happened and how. Mary and Peter and John, they're not reporters, they're disciples. And so the details aren't exactly what matters. As Craig Barnes says, what matters is that Jesus is on the loose and he knows our names. What matters is that all of our most basic assumptions about life have not held up. The dead did not stay dead. And so now everything is up for grabs. Hope now can burn through despair. Justice can break through oppression. And love, not death, will have the final word. This is what Easter means, friends. The sun has risen and a new day has dawned. It means that the guilt of the very worst offender cannot exceed the forgiveness of God. It means that the death-dealing powers of this world, things like cancer and hunger, will finally yield to life and life abundant. It means that the hateful and violent ways of the world have been exposed for what they are, and ultimately they will be overcome. It means that our foolish hope is not so foolish after all. For God has promised to restore all that is right and to make everything whole and right again. It may not all be accomplished yet, but the tide has turned, friends. The momentum has shifted. The end has been decided. This is the meaning of the empty tomb. And so, friends, to attend to a miracle like that, to attend to the miracle of Easter, is not about searching and finding the facts. It's less about cornering Jesus in the tomb to get our questions answered. And it's more about coming back again and again to the garden, to the place where we ourselves can be found, where we can hear our name and discover that Jesus is out of the tomb and on the move into the world, and then follow him there. Alleluia. Thanks be to God. Amen.